Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It is Monday, November 17th. We say that at the top of the broadcast. If many of you do download this and listen to it, many of you listen to it live, but we also do it on a downloaded basis. Or probably 80% of our listeners listen to it while driving to work, working out, jogging, whatever else they do in their spare time, and they said this is an invaluable resource. In fact, an increasing number of people are saying that they actually listen to this broadcast while they are even though they listen to it live, just because there's so much content. We appreciate you being part of the broadcast. Good to have you with us. Again, it's Monday, November 17th. This broadcast was created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals. And we're the proud recipient of the Innovation Award from Progress in Lending. Very much appreciate that. I am broadcasting live from the Admirals Club in Austin, Texas. I have a flight right after this broadcast is over, and I'm doing this on my cell phone, so I apologize for the audio quality that this is not normal. It's just that when you do this, and you're traveling around the country as much as I do, working with clients, it's just impossible to always be in my office. So doing this here before my flight to the East Coast later here, earlier this afternoon, right after the broadcast. Good to have you with us. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, United Guarantee. Performance premium pricing is something that's really catching on and is getting catching attention. It is the only MI pricing that is truly risk-based, surpassing simple tiered-based systems and broadening options for lenders and, more importantly, their customers. We have a wider credit box with this performance premium pricing. We also have a chance for a stronger reward to borrowers. When borrowers are there, we have the ability to give them a better incentive for those that have gotten that are stronger borrowers. Also, an opportunity to close more loans. Lenders can actually leverage their fast underwriting from the UG staff, Guarantee staff, and they're fast. They're turning around 24-hour or less, just amazing turnarounds. But you can leverage this on full file submissions and the ability to do more and different types of loans. The borrowers turn those houses into homes. So it's a great product. Encourage you to go out and check out United Guarantee at www.ugcorp.com or go to our Lincoln on Lending website on the upper right-hand corner on the homepage. You'll see a link or they'll see their icon. Click on the icon and it goes right out to their office. Out to the office. It goes right out to their website. Another cup of coffee here, I think. Anyway, mortgage insurance underwritten by United Guarantee Residential Insurance Company. Good to have them with us. Thank you, United Guarantee. Also, Velma, www.velma, V-E-L-M-A, stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. They do just a great job of getting the word out to all of those registered. If you are not registered, send me an email. Want to get the updates? I'll send them to you. We're sending them out to about 8,000 people right now and want them to go out more so. Quick update on conferences that are coming up. We have the MBA's Accounting and Financial Management Conference. That is coming up this week, November 19th through the 21st. Andy Schell, my business partner, will be out there speaking at that. The Profit Doctors talking at the Accounting and Finance Management Conference. Also, the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association has their 64th annual education seminar and marketplace. Connected with that is the Warehouse Conclave. This is where we bring virtually all the warehouse lenders from the United States to gather into one room, and we talk about the issues that are related to that. I am the moderator for that. It's a three-hour session. On November 19th, all the warehouse lenders will be there. If you want to meet your warehouse, there's not a bad place. We'll have them all cornered in a room, great place to be. And also hear what they're concerned about, the issues we're working through. So lots of great topics there. This is really around a rollout of speakers. This is the who's who we've got. We have CFPB coming in and talking to the folks there at this event for the warehouse lenders. And guess what? Mortgage lenders, you can come and be a part of it. Also, the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference is coming up December 3rd through the 5th. first week in December. Encourage you to get out. I mean, what better place do you want to go? It's so cold across many parts of the country. It's at the Hotel Del at Coronado del Coronado Island in San Diego. I was just out there last week. Gorgeous weather while the rest of the nation's freezing. I'm enjoying some warm temperatures. So there you got it. There's the conferences that are coming up. If there's any conference you want covered, be sure to let me know. I'll get it on here, and we'll put the word out. Also, San Garcia is on the line. I also have a place in his website, and he'll talk about that in a minute. But let's run over to Joe Farr to get an update on everything going on with the market.
Hi, Dave.
Joe, good to have you with us.
Hey, it's markets are about unchanged from where they ended the day on Friday. We did start the morning a little bit higher. We got some weaker than expected economic news. Both industrial production came in weaker than expected, and Japan's GDP was a big miss.
The third quarter
GDP fell 1.6% on an annualized basis, and the consensus called for a 2.2% increase in GDP. So, you know, quite frankly, I'm surprised we're not up bigger, and the stock market's not up, not down on that news.
Yeah.
It's really, really a surprise. But, you know, stock market's about unchanged, as are MBS prices. So,
I saw a headliner on that that says Japan now back in a recession. I'm going, wow.
That's right. Two quarters in a row. Quarter before had an even bigger drop. So, it's interesting. They attribute the drop to an increase in the sales tax. And by doing that, by raising that tax, Dave, I mean, just suck the money out of the economy. So I guess there's a good lesson in that, right?
Well, if any of our politicians in D.C. or across the United States say, well, listen to that and realize what happens, the more taxes, I don't even want to go there. We live in Texas, so we don't have to suffer too much for that. It's a little bit, but New York and some parts of the country, oh, my God, they pay attention to that. Anyway, let's go on through. Lots of stuff to talk about. I'm looking at your website right now. Again, valuable information. I love how you put it up there, just real concise. I get so many people want to say, read my analysis. I don't want to read your analysis. I just want the facts. What's going on? So run us through some more facts here, Joe.
Well, let's talk about last week, because it was a week in which MBS prices fell a little bit. Mortgage rates rose just a bit. Most of that occurred on Monday, because you might remember, and we even talked about it here, and I'm kind of have to recant what I said. On Friday of the jobs report, we saw a nice improvement in MBS prices, and that was also the day that comment came from the Ukraine that Russia had crossed their border, the tanks had crossed their border, and
right.
Maybe that had a bigger effect on it than I gave it credit for, because on Monday it seems like whatever concern was raised on Friday about that kind of reversed itself. So most of the loss in MBS prices occurred that Monday. So, we had a pretty nice improvement the Friday before. The economic data that came out last week was kind of mixed. You know, your new favorite report, the JOLTS report, showed job openings remain at very high levels. And an interesting note was that what they measure as the quit rate, you know, it's somebody who says, I'm confident enough in getting a new job that I can quit the job I have. So that quit rate rose to the highest level since 2008. So pretty strong number there. Jobless claims did rise, but they remain under 300,000, which is good. Eurozone Q3 GDP came out at a meager 0.2% growth rate, and that's just from the second quarter. It's not annualized. Retail sales better than expected, and you know, we talked about consumer confidence maybe being so elevated, maybe leading to that. Looking at this week, it's really a packed week with news. Inflation reports, we get both PPI and CPI this week, PPI tomorrow and CPI on Thursday. Get a lot of housing data with the National Association of Home Builders survey coming out tomorrow, and housing starts on Wednesday and existing home sales on Thursday. All that expected to show flat to slight improvement in the housing market. So we'll see what they show. Then the biggest thing that, you know, the biggest potential market mover is really the Fed minutes that are going to be released on the 29th on Wednesday. So Be paying attention at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday to see what they reveal as to the discussions inside the Fed on the 29th at their 29th of October meeting.
It's going to be an interesting interesting week. Yeah, I think all eyes will be on the FOMC meeting minutes, and we'll be paying close attention to any signals. It's not if they're going to raise interest rates, it's how soon is probably the consensus, and any insights we get, you know, how they sneeze even makes us wonder and start analyzing. It's crazy how we get so myopically focused on every word, phrase, word usage. It's amazing. Joe, it's so good. I have a question for you. When I looked at the over the weekend, I was looking at the New York Empire State Index, and I thought I saw on your website the expectation was 12, and I see it was readjusted to 10. It came in pretty close to expectations on that. Was there a something at 12 that was then readjusted, or did they readjust expectations? Because I know I'm not the only one that's checking your website, even on the weekends.
I'd have to admit I was fishing on Friday, and I don't know.
You're doing awesome. You actually go work on weekends. You actually go have fun. You rest. Well, I saw 12.2 on the consensus for on or 12 even, I think is what it was, over the weekend and then last night. And then I saw that 10 this morning going, they may have readjusted the consensus on that. So that's one of the questions.
Yeah, sorry.
Just great website, some super information. Again, you know how much – what a fan I am of it, and that's why we have you on the broadcast. Many other services out there, but I tell you, this one, folks, is just the one that just gets you what you need. Stay tuned. We got Paul Mollo on the phone. We got him to dial in. He's chasing stories, but we got him dialed in, and we'll have him on giving us the latest of what's catching his attention. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Gonna have Paul Mollo. I realized the podcast. I did not mention that we have as our special guest today. We have Jeff Schumacher and Ken Markison of the MBA. We're talking about the compliance essentials. When the word essentials in there, boy, I couldn't be better defined. Couldn't have chosen talk about choice of words. It's really essential that you listen to this broadcast when we talk about compliance essentials. Really a valuable tool. And Ken is really the one that's really spearheaded this for the MBA. And I'm so excited to have them on here, and we're going to be talking all about that. My apologies to them. I should have mentioned that at the top of the broadcast. But without further ado, let's get to Paul Mollo. His tongue may be hanging out, and he may be breathless as he's been chasing more stories. What's going on, Paul? Good to have you here. I've got your website up, www.imfnews.com. Love it. What you got?
Well, my tongue isn't sticking out, David, but it's been a... It's been an interesting morning, to say the least. The big news is, of course, the audit of the FHAMMIF, the Mortgage Mutual Insurance Fund. Everyone was expecting it to be in the black, and no surprises there it was. It's now up to $4.8 billion. It's still shy, the 2% minimum, but it's made a lot of progress. George Brooks has got that story on the website. You know, there was some betting that they might even hit 2%, but that's not going to happen. The bigger story here might be the fact that with the fund still undercapitalized under that 2% threshold, there's probably going to be no way there's going to be a cut in FHA premiums. So that's probably the backstory to this. And that's something to watch over the next couple of days. The other big story we have this morning, a scoop we have, is PIMCO apparently has bought a stake in a non-prime firm called Citadel Servicing Corp. That's run by Dan Pearl, who's been around for a long time and had many different hats, been successful in the non-performing loan space and morphed that thing into a non-prime lender. He had a big capital raise last year, and now PIMCO, according to our sources, has bought into the company. We don't believe it's a huge stake, but it is a stake. And that's more of a PR move here, shall we say, or can be viewed in a PR light, meaning here's PIMCO believing in this new version of non-prime. And that says a lot. And it also says a lot about, you know, bond investors are dying for yield. And one thing that some of these non-prime lenders offer is higher yielding loans. So that's going to be an interesting development to watch. John Bancroft crunched the numbers. The market share of brokers and correspondents went up a bit in the third quarter, according to the loan level data that he analyzes from Fannie and Freddie. So that's another interesting development. Also, Charles Wisniewski's got a story about Mel Watt's speech last week. Mel's testifying, I should say, before the Senate Banking Committee this week. He's got a story on what might be talked about there, and one of the big things is the membership rules for the FHLBs, the captive reinsurers, and the REITs. So that's coming up. The other story that Charles had is on the short take section. Former FHFA director DeMarco made a speech, and he sort of blamed what he called the, quote, housing industrial complex, sort of, I guess it's sort of a takeoff on the military industrial complex, which has been secretly running the United States government for several decades now, but this isn't the forum to discuss that. But DeMarco talked about the housing industrial complex and how it's controlling the mortgage industry, and it's been blocking any Fannie Freddie legislation from going through. Interesting take on that. So, like I said, it's been a busy morning for us, and there's you know, plenty of news out there, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate you taking a moment to talk to us. I want to talk about the mutual insurance fund that they're closer. Is there any potential of this becoming some real political football, or is it close enough? Is this going to get caught up that, you know, some you know, posing Mel or the everything going on there at the FHFA, is this, with them being short, going to become an issue, or is it? It's just close enough where it's just short and it's coming up.
You're talking about the MMIF, the FHA fund. Well, listen, you know, this is Washington. Nothing is ever political here. So a lot of our elected officials and regulators, they don't pay any attention to politics, David. So I think you're way off base there. I'm being sarcastic. No, I don't know. It's a good question. Will they take this underfunded MMIF and roll it into more concerns about Fannie and Freddie and blah, blah, blah?
That's exactly where I was going with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the potential's there, obviously. You know, Fannie and Freddie are also in the black pretty squarely now. So, you know, it's got that potential. But like I said, the bigger story might be the fact that this still underfunded MMIF, even though it's in the black, is pretty much going to scotch anyone's hope, I think, of them lowering FHA premiums. So
yeah,
that's the story. Can they politicize this? Sure, they already have, and they probably will. It'll be interesting to see what the makeup of the new Senate Bank Committee is and what happens there and all that kind of stuff. So, yep.
Lots of good stuff. Always a great place. If you're not checking out www.imfnews.com, you're missing a valuable resource. And I tell you, Paul is hounding us all the time, those of us that are in various aspects. He's calling us, running things by us. You do a great job, Paul. I really mean it. You really
Thank
do a
you.
Great job of tracking on the stories. And I just recommend to anybody that's really serious, considers himself a professional, to be watching and reading what you got up there. So good job. Appreciate it. Say hi to everyone around there.
Take care. Next week.
Well, let's run over to Tony Garitano. We've got Tony with us. Tony is just tracking everything as it relates to what goes on. We're, by the way, say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't Alice usually come in right here? Yeah, we're going to have her a little bit later in the broadcast. She wrote me just before the broadcast saying, Dave, I can't make it right at the beginning. I've got a client call, and it's an important client, so she has to be on that. So we're going to run her segment towards the end. Stay tuned. A little change is okay, folks. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. So let's get over to Tony Garitano. Tony, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, so I've got a question for you. How much should technology dictate how we do our business? It seems like it's really becoming to dictate how we go about it because we're so reliant on the darn stuff.
It is. I think, especially over recent history, there's really been a big shift. I think that it used to be that lenders wanted a more customized solution that they could morph and meld into their own processes. And the big, beef that a lot of lenders had with technology vendors was that they're trying to make me change the process that
right.
I'm used to and accustomed to, and that's not their place. But, we talk with several lenders, and they are increasingly open to, a more out-of-the-box solution that does dictate that they change some of their processes, and they're okay with that.
Yeah, and I think what's driving that, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but the time it takes out to roll out a quote-unquote customized solution to your process is just ridiculously long, and then the support cost to that is just ridiculous. So it makes me wonder how homogenized everything is going to become when it relates to how we approach technology. I mean, are we really seeing a really, truly homogenized, same process all the way through? And LME having how much? What's the market share right now? Do you recall what that is? I'm trying to pull up my brain cells to get that.
I'm always reluctant to quote market share, Dave, because you never really know. The market share that one vendor says they have versus another, I mean, if you add them up, it probably comes to way over 100%, which doesn't make sense. So.
Good point. No, I drink the Kool-Aid every once in a while. So here's another question. What role of the technology vendor in the current mortgage industry? What is the role of it? What is the proper role for a technology vendor?
It has become more and more, the trusted partner, the outsourced provider, right-hand person when it comes to compliance. And I think that's a good thing and a bad thing, because the good thing is that lenders are depending more on their technology vendors, so you're seeing little by little the mortgage process becoming more automated and more transparent, which I think is a good thing. But the flip side is that because the onus is increasingly being put on the technology vendor, lot of the technology vendors are struggling because they're having to do more for their existing clients, which is very costly. I mean, you've got to keep up with the times, and that takes money and resources, and a lot of that money and resources is going into just keeping up with the times versus really innovating, because vendors are on the hook for a lot more these days.
Yeah. Well, ever since CFPB said they can be included in lawsuits, they are right square in the middle of the bullseye with everyone else. So, I mean, it's without question that they, their role has gone up. But, I think the reality is you got to feel in control of it. I think the biggest mistake out there, Tony, is we see too many people saying they just – abdicating their role in it and pumping it totally on the technology vendor, and that's misguided as well. So it's really interesting to get your perspective each and every day. I encourage people to go out, check out your website, Tony. It's really well done. You've got some of the most innovative stuff. If you're going to have the Innovation Award, I think that kind of automatically just challenges you to make sure you're the most innovative guy out there. You do some great stuff out there, so I encourage our listeners to go out, check it out, www.progressinlending.com. Or get a hold of Tony at tony@progressinlending.com, or his phone number is 203-529-3131. Tony, thanks so much for being with us. I always appreciate your insight into the world of technology and, of course, the entire industry. Appreciate it, friend.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
A pleasure. Well, we're running through this is not normal. The prop doctor's speaking. He's traveling, so he's not on. Alice is going to be on a little bit later, so let's run over to Sam Garcia. Always love to have Sam's perspective. He's got the website Mortgage Daily. If you haven't been out there, check it out, www.mortgagedaily.com. Go, Lickin, why are you giving us all these websites? Yeah, well, first of all, we have everyone come to this broadcast and give us a highlight. But if you really want to stay on top of what's going on, these are some of the key websites. Of course, NBA Newslink, I love that one. I got to try to get them on. I know Ken and Jeff are listening to this, so, you know, come on, let's get Mike Soran or whoever we are on here to help us on this. There are so many valuable resources, and here's the key. You've got to be taking a look at each one of us. Sam is on the line with us right now. Sam, good, appreciate it. I really value your publication. The studies that you have, that the material you have as a resource is valuable, but you seem like it's complementing. You're hitting a space and filling in the gaps where others are not. What do you got for us today, Sam?
Hey, David, how you doing? It's good to be on here. And, what we've got is last week was kind of flat based on our mortgage market index, which is produced by Optimal Blue. And we saw was, though, that there was a drop in ARM activity. And ARM share slipped to 10.9% from 11.3%. So it was kind of interesting that ARMs were a little bit down more than the rest of the market. We got the Mortgage Bankers Association put out their delinquency report last week.
Yeah.
And they reported that 30-day delinquency, excluding foreclosures, was 5.85%. And what's significant about that is that was the lowest delinquency rate since the fourth quarter of 2007, a full year before the financial crisis hit its peak. So it shows that we're making some good progress there. Another area we covered last week was a lawsuit. It was a lawsuit that had been decided in a lower court in favor of a mortgage executive, and basically that court said that American Bank and Trust had to pay nearly $1 million to a former executive who recruited Chicago area loan originators. Well, the bank went to the appeals court in the state, and the appeals court upheld the lower court ruling and said, yeah, this guy who recruited all these folks needs to be paid this higher amount. So that was kind of interesting, and it always is, you know, I think everybody wants to keep an eye on what the possible liabilities are, you know, when you do one thing or another. And so that's a good story for anybody who's really watching out for, you know, their legal liability. Another interesting thing we saw was that
I want to make sure, which one is that titled again? Because I want to go, oh, there it is, Bank Must Pay $1 million to Former Mortgage Executive. I see it right there, yep.
Yeah,
I definitely want to go read that one.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a good story.
Sorry, I'm looking at your website right now. I want to highlight that one. Go ahead as you're going on.
So I think another story that really got some good traction last week was it was a report from J.D. Power. They put it out annually, and they basically rank lenders overall in the origination space as far as, you know, how well the sector's doing and with customer satisfaction, and then they rank lenders who rank the highest. And what they noted in the report was that nearly half of the 58% of the respondents who were first-time buyers preferred to go to a lender's local office to meet with the loan originator in person because, you know, they're really looking for a lot more explanations and understanding of what's going on. And so that makes a lot of sense because, you know, people are digging hard to find first-time home buyers, and you know, if you can give them that extra attention, then obviously you've got a little edge there. If you can give them more information and be more transparent. But what was interesting was that despite that comment, Quicken Loans, which basically operates online and from centers instead of locally, Quicken Loans rated the highest again for the fifth year in a row. So they've managed to overcome that particular the factor that they don't have the local offices, and yet they still give such good service. They have the highest customer satisfaction, and of course they've been growing.
And that's not some bought report either. That report, you know, J.D. Power's report, that's really a good independent analysis. 5 years in a row, way to go, Bill Emerson and team. I love that.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing is that they came out with a servicing report also, and Quicken's relatively new into the servicing space, but they've grown pretty rapidly. And they went right to the top of that list, too. They ranked very high in the servicing space. So they're doing a good job on both ends.
You're going to do things remotely, you got to figure out how to do it right. So I think they figured that one out. That's really good. That's really interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah, and I've read a report on them previously from a ratings agency, and we're talking about how there was a lot of redundant tasks to ensure everything was done properly in their processing. So they were talking about how instead of one processor handling alone, it was like many people handling just a little speck of the process, and seems to be working for them. But another piece of big news last week was that Loan Depot made an agreement to acquire Mortgage Master, and we went through and we did some digging up on their originations and compared it where they would have been last year. And what turns out is that this combined company, based on 2013 origination numbers that we collected, would have been the 14th biggest mortgage lender in the country last year. So we got a major player coming into existence with this merger here.
Consolidation is a big thing going on.
That's a good way to grow if you can't do it organically, right?
Yep. Yeah, so, well, and you do both. It's happening. It's very much true. Sam, good, excellent stuff. Excellent. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, folks, go check it out, mortgagedaily.com. Valuable resource. Email Sam at Sam Garcia, all together, at mortgagedaily.com, or you call them at 214-521-1300. Sam, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks,
David. Appreciate you.
Right.
You bet. You bet. Bye. All right, folks, we're going to be getting over to our good friends Ken Markison and Jeff Schumer in just a minute. And then at the end of the broadcast, we got Alice. I know several of you emailed, I want to hear from Alice. We're going to have her on. Just don't you worry, but we're first going to run over to our special guest, and we're going to do that right after we get back from this brief break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jeff and Ken.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Alice Halley just dialed in and joined us. Good to have you here, Alice. Looking forward to your report here a little bit later on, but I want to get on with our guest. But good to have you joining us, Alice. I want to make sure we hear you all right.
Yes, I'm here, Dave.
Oh, good. Well, we're both on cell phones. I'm doing this from the Admirals Club. For those of you that didn't hear that at the beginning of the broadcast, I am broadcasting off my cell phone, Ambrose Club, because I'm flying out to the East Coast as soon as I hang up from the broadcast. Good to have you with us, everybody. I have as our special guests today, and really excited to have Ken Markison and Jeff Schumer. Ken, everyone knows Jeff. He's a senior vice president, executive vice president of education. Jeff, I want to make sure I get that right.
Vice president
of education.
You're
joining us, and I didn't download your bio.
But yeah, that's vice president of education, Dave.
All right, good. And we got Ken Markison, who's Vice President of Regulatory Counsel at the Mortgage Bankers Association. Both these gentlemen have collaborated together and brought together probably one of the most valuable resources, folks. And that's what we're going to get in talking about. A couple of little bit interesting reasons. Everyone knows Jeff. He's such a celebrity within the industry. And, Jeff, I really do want to say thank you. You've got so many great educational programs out there for that the MBA offers. And I just tell everybody, if you're not in the pursuing the CMBA program, I know for those of you who ask me, I always get hounded to do it, and I'm one of those things I'm committed to do. But I just want to say thanks, Jeff, for the job that you're doing. You really are bringing about some great material for the industry, and I know you work closely with Alice and a lot of different ones trying to bring the best resources to our industry. I want to start off just by saying thank you and acknowledge all that you do. It's truly amazing. Busy guy.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's good to be here.
Ken Markison is the vice president, again, of the Regulatory Council. He was with HUD for, 32 years. And Ken, you don't look that old. Did you start in high school? Are you one of those savants?
I was taken as a small child, David.
that explains it. David Stevens, I was telling him, you and I had dinner, and I got to spend some time together with all the attorneys that contributed, so many of the attorneys that contributed to the Compliance Essentials. And when I did the interview with David Stevens before the NBA annual conference out in Las Vegas, he goes, "Lickin, you were at dinner with that many attorneys? Did you just want to, like, just claw your eye out?" And I go, "Ken was there. He is so colorful and entertaining. It was just a delight. I actually enjoyed my conversation." But I love it how Stevens just loves to give you a bad time, Ken. Just love
yeah,
it.
Well, now we're delighted to be here. Dave, as well as the rest of MBA, has been very supportive of this effort, which we're excited about, and we'd be delighted to talk about, which, of course,
what?
Is combined.
And that's really why I wanted to bring you both on the radio today, is really kind of give our listeners exposure to this so that they thoroughly understand that this world is just getting so and so more difficult to wrap your head around everything that's going on out there. And the service that you guys have created through this thing called Compliance Essentials on the website, I want everybody to give this twice in the broadcast right now. It's www.mba. Mortgage Bank Association initials, mbaeducation.org/products-and-services/products-by-focus-area/compliance-essentials. Or you can do what I did, and that's just Google MBA Compliance Essentials. It comes right up. It's right at the top of the list. So Google this, folks. Check this out. And so I want to get into some questions and then have Joe and Alice jump in here, Alan, but I really want to start the discussion to really get the understanding of the genesis. Whose idea was this, and to bring these valuable resources and guides together?
Well, let me say this. It was a shared belief here in MBA that it was important that the association do something important to help our members, particularly the smaller institutions, navigate the regulatory changes and implement policies and procedures, have checklists, and get it from the best advisors we could so that they would more efficiently and more economically be able to deal with these new rules. It's no secret that all of us are confronting thousands of pages of rules under not only the new materials under Dodd-Frank, but the many rules like FCRA, like HMDA, that have been around for years. And
yeah,
what we thought is
– go ahead.
Lloyd. No, what we thought –
It is one complex thing, and I apologize for the delay. Everything we're doing around here, Ken, is so electronically driven, and sometimes we can get some delays. I apologize. I just realized, Ken, that as you were talking, some of our listeners are not aware of what Compliance Essentials are. So let's go over and have Jeff give a real broad description of what these Compliance Essential guys are, what they really are. Ken, Jeff, could you give us a description of them?
Yes, certainly, Dave. So they've been built really to offer up model policies and procedures, not only background information about the rule itself, but to put together model policies and procedures that can be electronically delivered and then actually customized into the operations of our member firms. So that is a unique approach to being able to have something really at the ready to be able to translate and then put into our members' operational systems, their compliant management system, if you will, along with checklists and forms that can also help to adhere to the CFPB rules and the guidelines. So essentially, that's what these guidebooks are all about. And Ken can speak a little bit more in terms of the resources that we partnered with to build these
get there in just a minute. That's one of the things I want to go to. But one of the things, Jeff, that is really evident, that I think we've got the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference coming up, the MBA's conference, again, at Hotel Del and Coronado Island in San Diego. And this is one of the – this really kind of levels out the playing field. It's for all those people that cannot afford to have a full research department to bring together this stuff. The big, big companies have this, these resources. But even some of the big companies, David Stevens was telling me, are using the Compliance Essentials because it's that good, and it's really bringing what's good for the big guys. It's really delivering it down to the smaller independents, Jeff.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're able to pull together the foremost experts in their fields as it relates to these rules, and these law firms are able then to produce this material reviewed and checked by Ken Markison in collaboration, and then also to be able to provide, as I've mentioned, a resource for our members at a very affordable, attractive price. So ordinarily, to go to outside counsel to pay for something like this, the hours that it would take a mortgage banking firm, or the cost it would take, they can get at a fraction of the price with these materials that we're providing for them.
I think that's really the key. And Ken, one of the questions I want to go to is, you know, I can hear, and I want to get to the question. I know that's out there, listeners. You're getting the question. Yeah, but it's so fluid. How do you stay up on that? We're going to address that in a minute. Hang in there, folks. I want to get to this question. There are so many varying opinions out there, Ken. You and I had that dinner with all the attorneys that sat around there. They all are looking at these regulations, and there is variances within how to interpret them. So how did you select the group of attorneys to contribute to it? And the second question that I want to just go right there is, how much guidance did the MBA provide to them on these collections of guides?
Well, let me get to both questions. First of all, we're very fortunate in the association to have top-flight law firms as members, law firms that serve a very wide range of lender companies. So what we did was look at capabilities in terms of providing us good, clear, accessible advice, providing practical know-how, and we selected a broad range of about 6 or 7 different firms so far. We intend, because of the bench strength that we have, to involve even more law firms. But these are names within our industry that I think can be relied on, even when there is some debate about answers. In that vein, where there are questions, what we've urged is that our authors note that there is perhaps uncertainty and there might be more guidance coming from the CFPB down the road. But we think plenty here that's settled and plenty here that folks can work with.
So let's address the fluid nature of this. And these compliance guides are living documents. They're constantly getting updated. Tell our audience about that, and then I want to get Joe and then Alice to join in on the discussion here. So how are you keeping this all updated, and how frequently and how are those handled for those that buy these? Do they have to buy it every time again, the updates, or how does that work?
Well, first of all, we are, as part of the arrangement with these firms, insisting on updates. I don't think it's necessarily a matter of annual update, but as needed, there'll be updates. For example, the Bureau just put out some rules relevant to the ability to repay around a right to cure points and fees errors. We're going to try to get that out as quickly as possible. And what we've said, at least at the beginning, is the updates will be available at no charge. So
it, oh, good.
We hear your point, and I think it's a very fair point, and we have to be fair in making sure that our members have the best up-to-date information as quickly as they can.
Well, it was very evident. First of all, I thoroughly enjoyed that dinner and time with you. Anyone who doesn't get to know you, they think you're a boring, dry attorney. I got to tell you, they're in for a pleasant surprise. You are entertaining, and it's delightful to have a dinner with. And the whole group was, and that's the part that was really, there was the group of attorneys we had there, most of which were contributors to this, were just a great group of guys, some of whom I knew, some of them I was just meeting for the first time. And I just really compliment you, Ken, on who you selected. These guys are well-known, and they are some of the top firms. Mitch Kreider, of course, is in there. He's one of my favorite guys. But I met Bouts Farr. I met all these guys from all over that were there, and the excellent job. So let's go into a couple aspects of this. I've got some questions, but I've been dominating this. So I want to go over to Joe and say, Joe, do you have any questions you want to ask of Jeff and Ken at this point?
Yeah, I'd just ask, if you have information coming from a lot of different firms and probably a lot of different styles, if you acquire multiple information on multiple topics, do you get a sense that they're easy to assimilate from one from the other and apply in your own in your business?
Good question. Yes, different writing styles,
well,
different approaches. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's an amazing amount of cooperation between firms. A lot of these lawyers have worked together on panels for MBA conferences for years, and that still continues. I think they're out on the road in a lot of different venues working together. We want them to assimilate the best. We've met with them as a group several times, and I think what we're moving towards is a faculty that will communicate
great
the best that they can.
That is, yeah, I like the term faculty because that's really what we're all going to school constantly on this. And anyone goes to the website, you can see the Nelson Mandela quote I put up there on the Lickin' on Lending website specific to this broadcast. Alice, you're contributing to this on another side of this. You're helping the MBA on Jeff, was it on the ongoing study guides?
Yes, it's the self-study programs, and our members have been asking for not only these guys, but what can we provide them for their frontline staff members to connect to these rules and to better understand how these policies and procedures apply to what they do. So Alice and her company have been working with us to produce a series of these short 90-minute self-study versions for the frontline staff and frontline management that go into the specific points of these rules, offer learning points, checkpoints along the way, an exam at the end to verify that they've understand and grasped the material, and then a certificate of completion that gives them the credit, if you will, when the CFPB comes to audit, they have that confidence that company has put through all of their staff through training, not only at the frontline level, but also incorporated into the mid and senior levels.
And David, if I can, that's a big piece in the sense that when you look at the exam guides from the Bureau, they want compliance management systems set up in each company. And that includes not only the policies and procedures, but making sure that employees are trained. And to Jeff's point, you have not only the training vehicle through these self-studies, but a way to validate through a built-in test that indeed they're mastering the material.
Well, I don't think if you're turning to Alice Alvey, you're turning to the best because I just love her style. Alice, you've been quiet there. You've been off on vacation, career returning from the Caribbean, you rascal. So are you just so just into the Caribbean mode that you're just laid back? Is that why you're so quiet?
No, I've just been waiting for my turn.
Dave, I just want to commend Alice and her company on helping us put these self-studies together, these programs, because they are a terrific user experience. The graphics that her company has put into practice, the information, it's both audio and a visual presentation, have been phenomenal and has been very well received by our members. So thank you, Alice, for all of the work that your company and you have put into this program.
Oh, well, thank you. Right. Thanks for that, Jeff. Yeah, that is one of our specialties is, you know, we've been behind the scenes working with MBA for many, many years now, and we're fine there. We're fine with making sure members have the tools that they need, and Ken, I know, does a great scrub on it. So that's the other thing. I know it's really getting a couple of sets of eyes, each one of these, you know, it's getting our look, but it's also getting the MBA's, you know, Ken's look on phrasing and so forth. If maybe it's been done by an attorney, another outside firm, you know, Ken's kind of helping add that continuity to it. So what are the next things on the horizon for the MBA and the compliance side?
Well, we're certainly now working on the Respitela Integration Resource Guide, which is huge, as we all know, because August 1st of 2015 is fast approaching. So that is due out sometime in December. We're looking at Ken will be heading that up and finalizing that. And then a number of other future guides as well, from HMDA to Fair Lending, Data Security, Diversity, and also the Fair Labor Standards Act we're looking to produce, as well as additional self-studies that would complement these resource guides.
And one other piece with compliance essentials around Respitela is we, this past summer, conducted four forums around the nation to identify the business practice changes that are really demanded by the new rule. We're going to follow up this winter under the Compliance Essentials banner again to help companies navigate, now that they've thought about it, the various pieces of compliance, including the giving of the loan estimate, the giving of the closing disclosure, and so on. So we have self-studies, we have the books, and I think the in-person forums are new subject that we would expect probably to come when Honda's finished as well.
Well, I just commend the whole MBA for everything they're doing, and this is probably one of the most valuable resources in my 40-plus years of being in the industry and active in the MBA that I've seen come forth. It is the right document, the right everything at the right time for an industry that's just flat-out overwhelmed with stuff. So kudos to both of you. Again, listeners, check out the website at www.mbaeducation.org/products/products/products/by/focus/area/compliance/essentials. Or, like me, you can't remember that all, just Google MBA Compliance Essentials. It comes right up. It's almost like the first or second item right after the paid advertising. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, especially on such short notice, and to come on and talk about this. It is so valuable, and it's so good to see you both, or have you both here, and just look forward to seeing you here at one of the next conferences. But thank you again so much, Dylan.
We are grateful for the opportunity. We think it's important, and we appreciate your getting out the word on this.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet, gentlemen. Appreciate the partnership we are blessed to have with MBA. Greet everyone there, and thank you all again for your hard work.
Thank you.
Well, let's get on over to Alice. Everyone wants to hear from Alice because they get the updates of what's going on in the regulatory world. So, Alice, good to have you back. Did you have a good vacation? I kind of leaked it out that you were on vacation. You know, I often say Thomas enjoying it. This is I just thought about you several times. You and Andy, your husband, just sitting there and drinking cool tall ones at the beach while we're all freezing around the country.
Yeah, sorry. Yep, it was my turn. Yep, but it was a wonderful time. My husband and I had a wonderful time, so thank you very much. But, you know, it's always good to be back and jump back into trying to see what's going on with the legislative slide. The main thing, I guess, is just that we're really kind of in a holding pattern for several of our proposed rules now. Talked about over the last several weeks, many things that have come out for comment and are now closed for comment. Potential changes to the TILA, RESPA, definition of when I would have to reissue a new loan estimate if I move from, say, a float to a lock. Right now, the rule says we would have to do that within 24 hours, and the proposed rule, or actually the existing rule says same day, and the proposed rule trying to be able to get us at least a 24-hour or next-day rule. And that comment period closed back on the 10th, so now we're just really in waiting mode to be able to see what the final rule will be on that. So we're just really kind of in a holding pattern right now. Same with the HMDA. That comment period's all closed up now. We haven't seen much movement in any important legislation, obviously, because of the election. So I really wanted to just point out and make sure lenders had an opportunity to really understand some numbers that came out from Fannie Mae. This was a few weeks ago. Fannie Mae came out with their lender sentiment survey. And I think Sam might talk about the lender sentiment survey. So this talks about lenders. Concerns, right. I'm sorry, I do have a bit of a cold, too, so I'm sure it's not coming over well. So just had some important data that I think is useful to identify where you fall as a company, and that mid-size lenders are finding their compliance costs increased by 50%. Now, if you've listened to Andy Schell enough, and that's just between 2013 and 2014, if you've listened to Andy Schell enough, in order for you to even be able to answer that question, how much have my compliance costs increased, you need to know the number in the first place, right?
Yes, true.
And we repeatedly get surprised by companies that still can't answer that question. What are my compliance costs? And they might just quip and say, well, they're too high, right? I think the survey is good to be able to take a look at and compare where do you fall. I'm surprised in terms of compliance staffing, you know, that companies are still potentially at only 0 to 1 individuals in a small shop who are focused on compliance. You've got to have, if you're a reputable, if you're a company that plans on being around a long time, you need 2 people, and you need 2 people dedicated to compliance. And even at that, we recommend using the support services. We talked about MBA's Compliance Essentials, but IndyCon Mortgage U, we offer that support service as well. So I think the top concerns that were identified in the sentiment survey for mortgage bankers were still the compliance risk and then volume risk versus that was switched for depositories. Depositories were
now
first
more concerned. That's interesting. For depositories,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, I think they sometimes feel a little, a lot of companies will feel like, oh, I've got compliance. You know, we have a team of people. It's under control. I'm still worried about it, but I'm more concerned about the drop in volume because then I won't be able to pay for all my compliance people. So
yeah.
I think that Fannie Mae survey is available from their website. If you have any troubles finding the link, let me know. I'm happy to send it to you. And then I also wanted to just take a minute here, Dave, if we have it at the end of the show, to let folks know we do have our integrated disclosure training content ready now. It's available for purchase in a Word document format with PowerPoints. So if you say, I know I need something internal that I have to design, and that can happen at a small shop to a large shop, we've been on the phone with folks there loving this concept that we're willing to share with folks our content today. It will have in it that you have the ability to copy and paste this into your own, whether you want to do it e-learning, your own webinars. But we've taken the time. You don't have to go through the 1,900 pages and organize it and lay it all out. We've developed 3 courses for you. You can then take it and do what you want with it. Now, certainly, if you look at it and you go, I love this just the way it is, tell me when your courses are ready, then what it does is it helps you align your internal content with what you know is going to come out from us. So we're taking a very out-in-front-of-it approach with, you know, take advantage of our knowledge, take advantage of, we've already had education designers put this together for you. So you can reach me at alice.alvey@indicom.net, and I'm happy to send you that information. It's very, very affordable. I think we'll knock your socks off.
It's good.
That's my two cents.
Then if anybody doesn't know who you are, the fact that the MBA, which I'm so glad we had Jeff and Ken on to talk about Compliance Essentials, another affordable resource, it's just so good. And the fact that they selected you to be contributor on that, it just speaks volumes, Alice. So kudos to you for all that you're doing for our industry. And then next week, you're going to be hosting the broadcast. I'm excited about that. I've tried to go in for my not annual, but colonoscopy, endoscopy. I'm getting scoped, and I'll be out cold during the broadcast. So I appreciate you taking on and hosting. And we've got David Lord, who will be on the broadcast, who's been someone you know and has made a real difference on process improvement within your industry or within your company. I'm excited about that broadcast. Folks, have a great rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.